This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey, everyone, and welcome. This is Felice Gerwitz with Vintage Homeschool Moms, and today we are celebrating a very special episode. I am coming to you in the month of October, and this is our birthday month. And what does that mean? Well, every October, we celebrate our network's birthday. And as the creator and founder of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, and I host Vintage Homeschool Moms weekly on Mondays, I thought it would be really fun to introduce you to all of the podcasters on this network. And they are an awesome group of people. I think you are going to enjoy meeting them as much as I have enjoyed getting to know them and working with them. And believe me, they are very hardworking people and live all over the U.S. Well, today I'm going to be introducing you to some of my favorite homeschool hacks and also two of the podcast shows. The first is going to be the Homeschool Sanity Show with Melanie Wilson. She's going to be sharing with us a few of her favorite homeschool shortcuts or homeschool hacks. And then our Road School Moms, Mary Beth Goff and Kimberly Travaglino. And they are going to be sharing with you some of their tips, and super fun as I listened in to what they had to say. And so today I want to thank our sponsor, and that is Media Angels Publishing. And our sponsors help us to fund this network. Our show comes to you completely free, and we have a Patreon account. I am going to be setting up that link. You can find that on our website at Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network if you want to help donate to keep this network going. And also purchasing from our sponsors is a big help to all of us. This is show 156, and you can find that again and the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Well, today I'm going to talk to you about some of my favorite hacks to get it going. And I have homeschooled, I always say, since the dinosaurs roamed the earth in 1986. I'm a longtime homeschooling mom. Kind of came into homeschooling kicking and screaming, I have to admit. I was a teacher turned homeschool mom. And a lot of what I had learned in the classroom just was not going to be as effective in the homeschool. And that is emulating the public or even private classroom in the home. I found that my kids were about as excited to do school as my students were that were being made to come into the classroom. So I started looking at my children and just observing them. And that is my first homeschool hack, and that is observe your children. Have you ever sat and just watched them? You know, I know we watch them at the park and we watch them around the house, but usually when we're watching, especially little ones, our job is to keep them from killing themselves, right? We're watching them tottering around and, you know, the stairs are there, or, you know, there's a swimming pool, or in our house there's a pond out front, or electrical outlets, and we spend our time hovering and just keeping them safe. But the next time you have an opportunity, I want to challenge you to observe your children. I found that my children's passion was something I had no idea they were interested in. And when I was able to, which is number two, find their passion and teach using that, I had children that were excited, that were begging me to do school, that were doing school on their own. And one of the amazing things there with finding your passion it kind of found us. We live in an area called the 6 Mile Cypress Slough, which means it floods part of the year. And my husband is a builder, and he brought in a lot of fill, and our house is up high. And, you know, it's a beautiful area. But every once in a while, our pond would overflow, and we would have fish in the driveway, which other children and mine thought was exciting. I was not quite as impassioned as they were. But I sat and watched them one day after it rained, and they were, you know, doing schoolwork in my perfectly prepared curriculum. And they kept saying, "Mommy, can we go outside? Can we go outside?" And I said, "Okay, you know, what do you want to do?" And they just said, "We want to see what's out there," because it had rained and the pond had overflowed and, you know, it was wet out there. So the kids put on their boots and their water boots, and they took their little red trailer around the yard, and they came back with all kinds of little creatures. They found turtles, and they found frogs, of course, that they, you know, had to continuously re-catch until they found something to put the poor little froggy in, and just all kinds of things. And I learned through my children that nature studies was something that they were going to be passionate about. And actually, through that and through the teaching of, you know, nature studies and then experimentation and science, that's how I wrote my first book, Teaching Science and Having Fun. I know that sounds crazy, but it was through my children's passion that I found their love of learning. And I also translated that into teaching other parents how to do that. And then eventually I ended up writing a book, which is still in print. It's in its fifth printing, and it was selected as Kathy Duffy's 100 and 101 top picks for homeschool curriculum. So I need to thank my children for that passion, but also the fact that I was able to turn that into a love of learning. We're going to take a really quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from Melanie Wilson. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another labor of love is a three-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this ultimate homeschool radio network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American history and an American government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much, and hope to meet you soon. Well, hi, everyone, and welcome back. And as promised, I wanted to share with you something that Melanie Wilson had to say about her favorite homeschool hacks. You can find the show notes for this episode at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. And this is episode 156. Here's Melanie.
Hi, listeners of Vintage Homeschool Moms. This is Melanie Wilson from the Homeschool Sanity Show. First, congratulations on another birthday celebration of our network. I'm excited to share my three favorite homeschool hacks with you. First, let your kids check their own work as early as possible. Yes, you have to check periodically to make sure they're getting it and not cheating. But in general, they are capable of grading their own homework. In fact, they'll get feedback faster and can learn better as a result. I cringe when I hear moms talk about all the work they have to check. We're all about eliminating busy work for our kids. Let's eliminate it for ourselves too. Second, identify and focus on the 20%. You've probably heard of the Pareto principle that 20% of the invested input is responsible for 80% of the results. While the percentage varies, I agree that there are a few things we do in our homeschools to produce the majority of the results. For our family, the 20% is composed of Bible and character study, reading, and math instruction. That isn't all we do, of course. But I know that a focus on training in God's Word, a passion for reading, and math will allow my children to learn most of the other subjects. When in doubt about adding extra work, I don't, if it isn't in one of these three areas. If you're overwhelmed, focus on these fundamentals. Third and finally, enlist other teachers. When I started homeschooling, there was a lot of fear surrounding other people teaching our children. Another teacher may not share our values, or worse yet, could undermine our homeschooling. My experience has been nothing like that. Having outside music instructors has enabled my children to be motivated for music. Having my good friend teach science labs has introduced extra accountability that accelerated my children's learning. Having my son in an online high school course has made him more responsible. Another son had a tutor who not only helped him with study skills, but encouraged him to set goals and even motivated him to get along better with his brother. I hope that having your kids check their own work, focus on the 20% in your homeschool, and enlisting other teachers will give you more homeschool sanity. Subscribe to the Homeschool Sanity Show podcast for more hacks like these.
Well, I love what Melanie had to say, and especially on her 20% invested input, which brings me to my third homeschool hack, and that is, what is the most important goal for you and your homeschool? Do you have that goal? Do you know what it is that you want to accomplish? So many of us have financial goals and, goals to purchase a new home or save up for a car or whatever that is. But many of us don't ever think about a goal for our homeschool. I recorded a show early on in this podcasting venture of mine with Vintage Homeschool Moms. And it was a question I asked, what kind of homeschooler are you? And I will put that link on this podcast post under the 156 podcast on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. And I want you to listen to that. And that also gives you some ideas about, you know, looking at your homeschool as more than, okay, we've got to get this done from this time to this time because we have to put in our 4 or 5 hours every day because that's what the, you know, state or, you know, local government requires or our homeschool school umbrella requires. And looking at it like it is something to check off a list. While that's important, and I do use check off lists, especially with my children, I want to know what my goal is for my children. And my goal for them is to know, love, and serve the Lord. And if they have accomplished that, then I feel like we have accomplished much in our homeschool. The type of child that you have, that you're able to even emulate your faith to them is very, very important. How do your children act outside the home? I have a child who is my oldest, and I go head to head with him on so many different things. And I mean, that child has received probably the majority of my prayers of all of my children because of some learning struggles and some other things. Well, the other day after church service, a gentleman came up to me, had talked to my son, who's now an adult, at one of the local stores. They were in a hardware store buying some things, and he was sharing with me how loving and kind my son is. And I just looked at him and I just started smiling. And I said to him a couple of, you know, a little bit of a smart aleck things like, right. And how many different suggestions did he give you on how you could do the job better? You know, and so the gentleman smiled and he said, well, he only gave me like three suggestions. But he said one of the things that stood out to him was when he found out what this gentleman was doing with his home improvement, my son was concerned about his back and his well-being. And that really struck him. He said, you know, how many people really care? And that is really true. That is how my son is. He is very loving. He loves the Lord. And, you know, as a small child and even as a young teen, he would pen prayers to God in his journal. And they were just beautiful and they were heartfelt. And, you know, when your kids get to be teenagers and older, sometimes we, you know, struggle with some issues that you know, they're having or we're having and living in the same home and that kind of thing. But every once in a while, we have to remember that our goals, you know, my goal for him was that he would love God, and he does, and it does translate. So sometimes, you know, knowing, you know, what your goals are and focusing on that, and for us, it's faith and love of God, then everything else will fall into place. Another thing I want to share with you is, I guess I came up with this. I call it the checkup game. I have a series. In fact, you can find, I think, 1 in 3 of the checkup series I did. And what this series is, it asks you as a parent, how are you doing in your homeschool? It gives you some things to follow when you're setting up your year, in the middle of the year, middle of the year checkup, and an end of the year checkup. And I have this set for sale on mediaangels.com with the printables that go along with it. But I came up with the checkup game for my children, and I'm going to add that to the set coming up. So if you do purchase that, just email me at felice@mediaangels.com and I'll get you that information. And really what that was a sheet of paper that I came up with all of these different things, and I would just cut them up and put them into a little container, and I would arbitrarily draw them out. And I would ask the children questions. So the checkup game was to see at the end of the day or at the end of the week or even before we got started again. For us, after lunch was really a difficult time to get back into things. You know, after lunch, my kids wanted to be done. That was their goal. In fact, when they were in high school, their goal was to be done before lunchtime, even if it meant getting up at 6:30 or 7 and starting their schoolwork. And, you know, when they were younger, I tried to get more done in the afternoon. For example, listening to them read individually or finishing up an art project or working on something along those lines where we could get started again very quickly. And so what I did was I would say, we're going to play the checkup game, and they would be really excited. Yay, you know, we're going to play this game. So I would set them up back against the wall, and they would have to answer a question that I came up with, and it would be something that we study that day. And if you are forgetful, you know, you can jot down some things during the day that you may want to add to your game list as far as questions go. And if they got the answer right, they could do one of the following. They could do a bunny hop. They can do a giant step, a baby step, you know, a hop with on one foot, just whatever you wanted to say. Now, of course, your children are going to be different sizes, and of course, the taller ones are going to take the big giant step. And so what you might want to do is, you know, be a little bit flexible, and the little ones are going to get to have the two giant steps, and the older one may just take the one giant step because you're pulling these things out. But like, let's say it says bunny hop, and you have a little one that's way back against the wall, and they get the question right. You can arbitrarily say that child can do 5 bunny hops and get a little bit closer up. So what I found with my kids, it wasn't so much winning. It was the fact that they got to get up out of their seats and play a game that involved their bodies. You know, the kids just love that. So I would ask them questions. And the little ones, you know, I do this with my grandkids, and I will say things like, you know, what is your daddy's name? And they will say, Daddy. And I'll say, that's right. And the other kids are like, that's not his name. And I go, well, what do you call him? And they said, Daddy. But his name is William. And I said, well, okay, but you know it on a different level than they know it. For the other children, you might ask, you know, what is 5 divided into 25? You know, go over a math fact or that kind of thing. But it is wonderful because the children know that it's coming. Like every Friday, we would play that game for sure. And it would be a longer version. But every day before we got back, you know, to school after lunch, we would play the game, and we would play it, you know, up in our schoolroom so that the kids were in the area where we were going to be doing work, and then they could sit down and get started. And so it was some way to get them back to school in a way that was fun. And again, you can use your own questions, and the printable I have is basically some of the things I asked him to do, because it was hard off the top of my head to say, okay, let's do a bunny hop or let's do a giant step. It was easier for me to give them the questions because that was fresh in my mind. And so having those little, activities that they can do to get them back into school really is helpful. Well, we are going to hear now from Mary Beth and Kimberly, Rhodes School Moms, and listen to their advice about homeschool hacks.
Hello, Vintage Homeschool Moms listeners. This is Mary Beth, your road trip teacher from over at roadtripteacher.com. I'm the creator and author over there of some great homeschool resources for families on the road. And I'm joined by my Rhodes School Moms co-host, Kimberly, from Full Time Families. Hey, Kimberly.
Hey, Mary Beth. Hey, guys. It's Kimberly from Full Time Families, your resource for full-time RVing needs, for your aspirations and adventures of being a full-time RVing family. Mary Beth, what's going on today?
Well, first, I got to say congratulations to the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. It's the third birthday here at the network, so congratulations on that. We are so delighted to talk with you listeners today about the shortcuts that KT and I use in our homeschool, and we talk about these a lot over on our show at Rhodes School Moms. And I just have to preface this recording by saying, you know, KT and I are both homeschooling mamas. We live full-time on the road with our kiddos, so we often refer to our homeschool as Rhodes School. And when you and I decided to talk about this show, we decided that, you know, really our whole life is a shortcut, right, KT? We do homeschool hacks on a regular basis.
That's so true, Mary Beth. Just like shortcuts in our real life help us save on the fuel mileage, shortcuts in our road school life definitely help us save some time and energy and effort in our education opportunities.
Right, so I would say that our first piece of advice as far as a shortcut for homeschool is what you and I do every single day, and that's just kind of to go with the flow, right, and learn from your surroundings and see what kind of learning and adventures are right in front of you.
I love that, Mary Beth, and you know, I feel like that's the main difference between homeschooling and road schooling, but it doesn't have to be. There's a lot of things, you know, that staycation effort that people went through, you can employ that in your homeschool by using the resources and the unique features of the area around you in your education assignments. You can get a lot of quote-unquote mileage out of your homeschool efforts that way.
That was a nice play on words. Okay, now I was thinking about this morning, and I thought, you know, the next thing that we do, and I know you do too, we really do try to integrate what our kiddos love into our homeschool. So, for instance, if Legos are a hit in your household, then take advantage of the numerous Lego-based learning projects out there because you already have your resources in your home. If Minecraft is all the rage in your home, or if you're RVing in your rig, then there are numerous Minecraft-based classes out there. I personally love Scrafty classes over at whenyourriseup.com. If you want to know more about that, you can drop me a line over at Road Trip Teacher, and we can tell you more. But really, you just, you know, kind of use the resources that you already have built in. Using your road schooler's interest as the direction for their learning adventure really is the quickest way to homeschool success.
Absolutely, Mary Beth. That is really how we get our kiddos engaged and ready to learn up here in our rig. And one of the ways that we find those opportunities, because sometimes that sounds daunting, how am I going to use Legos to be educational, is through that great tool called Pinterest. You can Google or Pinterest search something called Legos Educational Opportunities, and boom, you'll have a million ideas pop up. So don't feel like you have to reinvent the wheel if your kiddo likes something specific. I'm sure there's a Pinterest board out there with your name on it.
That is so true. Okay, so for you and I, you know, we live in a limited space of our RV, and sometimes it is hard to define the space that you have for your learners. Now, one thing that we've done before, you know how most carpet stores will give you their leftover carpet samples, those cute little squares. Well, we've used them before to give our road schoolers their own space on the floor, or maybe if you're outside in the grass or whatever, for a certain project or just maybe a certain length of time, just to kind of break it up and give everyone something a little different.
Oh, I love that. We haven't employed that yet, Mary Beth, but to piggyback on what you just said, one of our homeschool hacks is to let them do work where they're comfortable. Although you, as their homeschool mom, might be envisioning that they need to sit at a desk to get their best work done, I know that a lot of the work gets done in our house with a dog on the lap and someone in a couch. So we just go with the flow, like you mentioned in the first tip, and let them get their work done where they feel most comfortable.
That's right. I can't tell you how many hours one of my kiddos has spent in a tree reading. That's his favorite place. So I'm glad you mentioned that. So another shortcut that Kimberly and I both use are games. Sometimes, you know, time or space just does not allow for big drawn-out lesson plans or crazy things like that. So if it's a travel day in your RV or if it's a crazy schedule day at your house, just pull out a board game that everyone can play. There are many ways that you can reinforce spelling and math and reading skills all just by playing a family game. And, you know, your kiddos will remember that for days on end.
Yeah, I love that, Mary Beth. Not only will they really enjoy that intentional time that you're spending with them to play the game, they won't even realize they're learning, whether they're counting Monopoly money or skipping every other space or learning to take turns. Depending on how old they are, they're definitely learning something through imaginative play when you use board games in your homeschool.
Right, and while we're talking about doing things as a group, I would say one of my biggest hacks, my biggest shortcuts that I've learned over my last 4 years of homeschooling is to really to teach across the grades in your household. Now, we know there are subject and projects that can't be grade or age specific. However, in my years of homeschooling, I found that teaching as many subjects as I can to my gang all at once is really the most effective, and for me, it's really also the most rewarding. Older kids are great to reading to the younger kids. The younger kids are great at keeping the older kids involved, you know, in the action when they might have drifted off had they weren't part of this, you know, this big group. So it really can be rewarding to point your homeschool in that direction. It saves time and money.
Yeah, I love that too. I love finding curriculums that go across the grades like that. One of the other hacks that I really love doing is scheduling one-on-one time in a single assignment with each homeschooler in my rig, and then having three or four assignments that are self-led so that I can be doing one-on-one work with one while all three others are being self-led and rotate around the whole room that way. I find that that gives me one-on-one time with my kiddos that I really enjoy and is very enriching and also promotes being self-led in your studies.
That's an awesome tip. So another one of our hacks is to use audiobooks. With all the options that are out there now, giving your homeschoolers access to an audiobook library is really a great benefit. You know, just this past week, my middle schooler found his Apology, a science book over at Amazon from Audible. And I've found that having this audio to go along with his lessons has really helped him grasp what he's reading, and it's really a shortcut for him while it reinforces the knowledge that comes out of it.
Yeah, and other things you might want to look into are other audio tools like Audio Adventures, those storytelling books.
Yes,
there's a lot to be said to learning auditorially.
That's right, and so that's another thing that can be done as a group, and it's always worked well in our rig. So here's our last tip for the day, and that's to create a bag or a box that is easily mobile so that you can pick up and take off and carry it with you on your next adventure. Now, here's a post. If you're listening to today, in the post, there's a from Road Trip Teacher that shows you how I put together my on-the-go bag that I take with me everywhere, and I know KT has her own version of this as well. We just keep everything we need in that bag or that box. You know, enough scissors for everyone, markers, highlighters, glue sticks, you know, you get the picture. And that way, if we are in the middle of something, we don't have to stop and gather supplies for whatever we're doing. Because I find that when, if that happens, it kind of leads to distraction among my road schoolers. So my road trip teacher bag has everything I need in it to keep, you know, to keep on moving, whether it's a trip just to go outside or whether, you know, it may be an all-day adventure, but I've got everything I need right there in that bag.
I love that, Mary Beth. And when you shared that tip with me many years ago, I created my own on-the-go kit, and that has been the secret to success, to being able to pick up and just start learning right there at the park or at, you know, beachside location, just anywhere, adding some more variety to our homeschool by changing the setting. I really love that. That's a great tip, and I hope that the listeners will go and learn how to stock their own on-the-go kit.
Awesome. Well, thanks for checking in with us today. And again, Vintage Homeschool Moms, it was a pleasure to speak with you today. And God bless.
God bless. Happy birthday, Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. And if you're available on Sunday nights, tune in live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. to Road School Moms and learn how adventure and education are at the crossroads of learning. Until then, take care.
Well, as you can see, you know why I love my homeschoolers who are on this podcast network. I mean, Melanie Wilson and Mary Beth Goff and Kimberly Travaglino have hit it out of the ballpark. They are awesome and had such amazing advice. It was really wonderful. And I'm going to add a few more of my things that we did. And one of them was unit studies. And I think Mary Beth alluded to this when she said teach across the different grade levels. If you do unit studies, especially for things that are topical like science or history, you can teach that on so many different levels. So if we did American history, I would give the older children higher level reading and things like that, but the younger ones could still do things like set up battle scenes and do project boards that were in regard to whatever the topic was that we were studying. And the same thing with science. We did science fair projects, and I also have a book called The Insider's Guide for Successful Science Fair Projects. And what parents don't realize is, you know, when you're looking for ways to get scholarships, science fairs really can help in that arena. A lot of schools look at your children's work, and if they have placed in a science fair, which is what that little book that I wrote helps you do, that really goes a long way. I know that was the case for my niece when she was waitlisted at an Ivy League school that she wanted to go to. The professor of the science department was really pulling for her, and it was because of her science fair project. So that to me is amazing. Another thing is the backpack idea that they also talked about in Road School Moms. And our backpack was filled with binoculars, if I can say this, magnifying glass, waterproof little books, and you know, some sort of pencils, like mechanical pencils and things like that. So that when my children went outside, they had specific things that they used in that backpack. And one step further, we had these plastic bins, and I talk about this in my Teaching Science and Having Fun book. And I came up with this, these different kits, like the biology kit and the chemistry kit and the all-purpose science kit. Well, the all-purpose science kit was something that was a staple in our house. The children knew that if they were doing any kind of science experimentation or even nature studies, they were allowed to take that box outdoors. And in that kit, I had things like an air thermometer, a thermometer that would measure liquids, some Fahrenheit, and that was Fahrenheit and Celsius. I also had measuring devices in there. I had beakers that were non-breakable. I had plastic petri dishes so that the kids, if they found something, they can put their little creature in there and then look at it under a magnifying glass, or even put it under a microscope. And so it was awesome. There was a microscope that is no longer available, and I wish I knew, I had known that it was not going to be available. I might have even bought the company. I love this microscope so much, and it was called the Blister Microscope. I talk about it in my book. It is no longer being reproduced, but they are out there. In fact, I've had moms who have emailed me and said, I found it, you know, and online or at a thrift store. But these little microscopes, they at their time they retailed for between $50 and $60, but they're almost indestructible. And I had one in the garage and one up in our schoolroom. And it was wonderful because the children could see things that were three-dimensional. And it was like a binocular microscope where you can put the two eyes in instead of just the ocular where it's just one eye, one eyepiece. And ours only had one eyepiece, but you could see things like paper towels and things that were translucent. It didn't have to be like a clear thing. So the kids could look at things like the frogs and the lizard eyes and that kind of a thing. And then I would just say, please gently release the critter back into the wild. And so they did, and it all worked out great. So those are a few of the ideas to help you in your homeschool journey. And I hope you've enjoyed Vintage Homeschool Moms and our birthday month celebration. Visit our website at Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you go to the giveaways tab, every month of October, we have a huge cash giveaway as well as a bundle of books and products that we give away every year just to celebrate our birthday. Thank you so much for celebrating with us and tune in to Vintage Homeschool Moms. And I also invite you to subscribe on iTunes. We are available on Stitcher as well as on Google Play and your favorite podcast app on your smartphone. You can also download us on your computer and listen whenever you want. So thanks so much. God bless and take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.